to get something on tape for our program tomorrow, your reaction to the suicide of Dan White.
Yes, of course.
Okay, we're rolling if you want to...
Very sad about the suicide of Dan White, simply because it leaves behind a widow, Mrs. White, for whom we should have a good deal of concern, and worst of all, three children who have a right to a full lifetime, and presumably a full lifetime would be to have a father at their side, and so he's not around to be helpful. Beyond that, I had hoped that he would be allowed to write his memoirs, to write at great length about who he was and what did that mean, where did he come from, how did he get the way he is. What I think I'm saying the long way around is that we should have some compassion, some civility in this matter, and beyond that we should have an inquiring mind, that homophobia finally has to be identified. And if Dan White could help us identify it, he could have been helpful instead of harmful.
Okay. Do you think that this suicide shows that he was sorry for the crime?
Yes, very much. We never had that satisfaction from him anyway, and if he had ever indicated some remorse, I think that the Lesbian Gay Nation would have felt far differently about him, but he never gave us that. But now that he is dead, we find through his acquaintances, people he knew, that there was an eternal pain through his conversations, through his remorse. I called up a brother who's beloved of my life to announce that Dan White was dead, and his answer was, he just couldn't take it anymore, could he? So I think that is what was happening to Dan White. The reverberating memory in his head was just simply too awful.
Had you thought before, perhaps, that there was the possibility that he would commit suicide? I remember you were quoted at one point saying if he could live with himself, he had nothing to fear from the gay community.
Yes, I did say that. No, I'm not that clairvoyant. I had never expected that. I had thought that, that he would do something else irrational or erratic. He was, you understand, an irrational person because he was a 19th century person trapped in the 20th century, but he just didn't belong. The century in which he lived in, there was a neighborhood made up of Irish Catholics, and they all looked alike, and they all talked alike, and they all did the same kinds of things, a christening, a marriage, a wedding dance, and a death, and a funeral, and then another baby born, and so on, and so on. And suddenly, in this generation, he had to deal with the Beat Rebellion, which was, after all, a major worldwide revolution. Had to deal with the Summer of Love, Haight-Ashbury, 1967, a major worldwide activity. Had to deal with the anti-war movement, which had very strong roots in San Francisco, and he certainly disapproved of that quite thoroughly. They had to deal with a whole group of persons of color coming from all over the world, including a significant number of Asians, who he certainly wasn't used to, and blacks, some of them who moved right next door. And as bad as that was in his mind, then he had to deal with us, acting as if we were full citizens, acting as if it was okay to be gay, acting as if indeed we had something to contribute to society, all of which we do, but he couldn't take that. And so he felt that he must kill off that. He must kill Harvey Milk and be rid of the goodness that gayness can represent just by killing it, destroying it. That just nips it in the bud. And he wouldn't allow anyone to be nice to us, and so he felt that he should kill George Moscone. And then, I guess, 7.5 years later, he couldn't deal with it, and so he chose to die. In a better world, if there were not a widow and a number of children, you could almost say that this one more right that we ought all have. We all ought to all also be able to choose to die. But in his case, in choosing to die, he left behind unfinished work.
Mm. How do you? You were a friend of Harvey Milk's, weren't you?
Yes, I knew well.
How do you think Harvey would have felt about this?
Well, I guess I thought about that last week. I think Harvey would have smiled and said he just couldn't live with himself anymore, could he? And then I think Harvey would have invited me to go to Mr. White's funeral and sit off the side somewhere. And had I been in San Francisco, I would have risked doing just that. Because John Donne's poem, "Every person's death diminishes me, therefore send not to us for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." I think that applies to Dan White, too.